Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stenny Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege that our Lord allows us to open God's precious Word and to study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning again in our Bible to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7, and we're looking at verse number 14, and we're continuing our study on God's recipe for revival. Of course, you remember in the context here in chapter number 6, Solomon has prayed that great prayer of dedication of the temple that he built. And then in chapter number 7, the fire comes down from heaven and consumes the burnt offerings, and the people break into a time of rejoicing. And then in verse number 12, God appears unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard your prayers, and I've chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And then in verse number 13, he said, if I shut up the heavens, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now notice verse 14. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I said to you from verse number 14, we have God's recipe for revival. And we're looking at it in three simple thoughts. First of all, we have given to us in this verse the people of revival. Second, we have the plan of revival. And thirdly, we have the promise of revival. Notice these, and then we'll deal with them individually. First of all, the people of revival. God said, if my people, which are called by my name. And then God said in the plan of revival, if my people will do four things. Number one, if they will humble themselves. Number two, if they will pray. Number three, if they will seek my face. And then number four, if they will turn from their wicked ways. And then God gives the promise of revival. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Thus far in our study, we have looked at the people of revival. Again, I remind you, God has never and never shall send revival by an act of Congress or by the activities of social clubs and civic organizations. The revivals of history and the revivals that are yet future will come through God's people, the Lord's churches. God said, if my people, which are called by my name. And then I said to you that most everybody claims to be God's people. And so we went to the Word of God and we learned identification marks of God's people. First of all, I pointed out to you that God's people are a purchased people. We do not belong to ourselves because we've been bought with a price, and we are the purchased, prized possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can do what you want to do, and if you can live your life your way, then it's good evidence that you do not belong to the crowd that God identifies as his people. Then number two, I said to you, God's people are a purged people. I repeat to say that God never saves a sinner and leaves him or her in their sins to continue living the sinful lifestyle of their past. The Bible is very clear. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. If you know anything about the teaching of the Word of God, then you know that the Bible teaches us that the moment we're saved, we die to the old life, and we're born again into new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that does not take place when we die, but it takes place the moment that we experience salvation by the miracle of the new birth. So God's people are a purchased people, and God's people are a purged people. Then number three, I pointed out to you that God's people are a peculiar people. We are peculiar in the sense that we're zealous of good works. We look in the book of Titus, chapter 2, in verse number 14, where the Bible said, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We are God's people because we've been purchased, because we've been purged, and because we're a peculiar people. But then we came to the plan of revival. God said, if my people will do four things. Number one, if they will humble themselves. Number two, if they will pray. Number three, if they will seek God's face. And number four, the Bible said, if they will turn from their wicked ways. Now, I made two or three statements that I want to make again, and I want you to really hear what I'm fixing to say. Notice this is just one order consisting of four thoughts. What I mean by that is one of them is not enough. Two of them is not enough. Three is not enough. It requires all four of them. There can never be a revival if all that God's people do is humble themselves. No, that's the first step, but it's got to go farther than that. There will never be revival if all we do is humble ourselves and pray. There will never be revival if all we do is humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. There will only be revival when we do all four of these, humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. They're connected by the conjunction and that means a continuation of the story. And so it takes all four of these on our part for us to see revival for the glory of God. Then I want you to notice a second thing. These are in divine order. You do not start out by trying to get people to turn from their wicked ways first. That only makes a Pharisee. We start out by humbling ourselves. Once we humble ourselves, we can and will pray. And when we humble ourselves and pray, then we will automatically start seeking God's face. Then if we humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, then we will automatically start turning from our wicked ways. It is an ongoing process that consists of all four of these. And the Bible order is given correctly. We must first humble ourselves, and then we will humble ourselves and pray, and then we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, and then we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. Then, and only then, will God hear from heaven and forgive our sins and will heal our land. Let me also point out to you that God does not say for us to pray for him to make us humble or for something to happen in our lives that will humble us down. No, God wants you and I to take the initiative and humble ourselves. You remember the Bible said over in the book of James chapter 4 in verse number 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Again, the Bible said in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 5 in verse number 6, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then the Bible said in the book of Luke chapter 18 and verse number 14, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So there are four times in the Bible, James chapter 4 verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse number 6, Luke chapter 18, verse number 14, and then in our text in 2 Chronicles 7, 14, where God commands his people to humble themselves. If I could use some good country language, that means to come down off of your high horse and realize that you and I, we're nothing in and of ourselves. Were it not for the mercies and grace of God and the goodness of God to us, we'd all be on the road to hell or already burning in the flames of a Christless hell. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. What is humility? Humility is you exalting the Son of God to the position that God exalts him, making him to be everything. And then you putting yourself in the position that God puts you in the Bible. When Jesus said, without me, ye are nothing. And without me, you can do nothing. So when we take our position as a nobody going nowhere but to a Christless hell, and then God in his mercy sends his Son to die for us, and Christ Jesus dies and sheds his blood on the cross of Calvary to save us, and for no other reason except just his love to us, he gave himself to die for us, and then God lifted him to be Lord of all. And so when we make him Lord and we become what we really are, we realize we're nothing. And the higher you exalt him in your heart and life, the lower you become. And friend, listen, humility is something if you think you are, you are not. It's not something you brag about. Humility is realizing you're nothing. He's everything. God help us to humble ourselves. We'll continue tomorrow, the Lord willing. Father, take the word, use it to your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Blue speaking. Once again, it's anniversary month here at the Harvest Time Broadcast. We began broadcasting on the first Monday in November of 2002. The Lord's allowed us to finish 6 years, and we're now broadcast over 80 times a day. I do want to thank you that's prayed for us and stood by us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. I remind you that without you, we would not be able to do the job that we're doing. Let me encourage you on this anniversary month, you take time out, write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.